our verse in Psalm 103, verse 2, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Forget not. And that word, forget not, is the word to ignore. It's something that you know, but don't ignore it. You already know the benefits, the blessings of God, but don't forget them. Webster's 1828 dictionary says of this word benefits, forget not His benefits, means His acts of kindness conferred to us. So we're commanded to remember, not forget, not to ignore the acts of kindness which the Lord has bestowed upon us. Forget not the advantages, the prosperity that God has bestowed. God tells Israel in Deuteronomy 8:18, "Remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers." It's He that gives you power to have wealth. We also know that He giveth life and breath to all. The psalmist declares in our text then, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He says that in verse 1 and in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Forget not all of His benefits. Do not forget the least blessing. Mainly because we do not deserve any of God's goodness or any of God's kindness. We can't earn the benefits that we receive. It is all the mercy of God. And His mercies are new every morning. For us, His mercies are new every day, day by day, week after week, year after year. We can't number all the mercies which God has bestowed upon us. And we're commanded to remember, do not forget all of His benefits. One of the great benefits which we as Americans have is a great country. We've been given a great country. God truly has blessed the United States of America. And this is Memorial Day weekend, as you can tell by looking at the pews. And tomorrow is Memorial Day in America. And I'm not saying everybody that's gone is doing something bad, because I didn't mean it like that, because some people just visiting folks. But Memorial Day is a memorial is preserving a memory. Preserving a memory. That's what it means to have a memorial. And this is Memorial Day tomorrow in America. And it's a day in which we as Americans remember those who have gone before us. We honor those who have died in battle to ensure the freedoms that we enjoy. We remember those who have died in military service, those that gave us their life. They gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we should be a most grateful people. It is due to the sacrifice of our military service men and women that we are privileged to be sitting in a worship service just like this morning. It's because of them that they have died to give us that freedom. We have religious freedom, which is extremely rare in this world, especially to the extent in which we enjoy it and we often take for granted. And it is a historical and biblical truth that freedom is never free. Freedom always has a price. Even this very day, we have men and women fighting for our freedom overseas to keep us safe here at home. Even now, as we speak, Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And the scenes of soldiers coming back from the Middle East in the last many years, some without limbs on their body, some with flags draped over their coffins, should be a stark reminder to us that freedom always has a price. In our nation's case, that price has been the life of hundreds of thousands of soldiers. We should be mindful. We should be thankful. We should be grateful every single day. So our political and religious freedom is a benefit. It's a blessing. But ultimately, it's a blessing from God. To be born in the United States of America is the gift of God, a tremendous gift of God. And we remember those who have given their lives for us. But as Christians, we not only remember the military soldiers who ensure our political and our religious freedom, but we also remember Christian brethren who have given and continue to give their lives for the cause of Christ. And I can't help but think at Memorial Day about when we think of those who have given their lives for our political and religious freedom in this country, that we as Christians, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, should also remember those who have given their lives for the cause of Christ, those who are persecuted and have also died for the gospel. Ephesians 2, verses 19 and 20 teaches us that we as God's people today are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Almost all of the apostles, right off the bat, the early church, the first century, were killed for their faith. Many of the prophets were killed before that for their faith. And Jesus said of Jerusalem, "Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." History tells us that Paul was beheaded. Peter crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. So he asked to be placed upside down on a cross. Andrew, the first to go to what has now become known as, or formerly now, the Soviet bloc. And he went into Turkey and to Greece, where he is said to have been crucified. Philip was put to a cruel death, and it's reported that Matthew was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. James, the son of Alphaeus, stoned and then clubbed to death. We know the other James was killed in the book of Acts with the sword. Matthias, the new apostle that was added in, he was burned. And from righteous Abel down to our very day, being a Christian has had a high cost attached to it. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Acts 14:22, "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Notice with me in Matthew chapter 5, the words of Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 5. And tell me how you can relate to this as an American Christian with all the prosperity and all the blessings that we enjoy in this nation. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Jesus says this, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." We haven't experienced too much of that. Maybe some of the talk, but none of the terrible persecution. But many of God's people around the world are experiencing it. He says this, though, "When this happens to you, rejoice and be exceeding glad." I think as American Christians, we have so much power and prosperity, and we live in a Christian land, and we consider this our home, and we shouldn't. We just get angry and upset when our rights are violated, as if it's not all a blessing from God. But here he says, instead, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Millions of Christians have been killed over the last 2,000 years. And I mean millions upon millions of Christians have been killed over the last 2,000 years. And to this very day, Christians are the most persecuted group in the world, and they have always been overall. This is part of Christianity. It's part of Christianity. That is why it is such a blessing to be an American Christian. We are promised persecution, but as Americans, we don't have to experience it. We haven't been through it, but we're promised persecution. That's the norm for Christianity. We are the most blessed people in the history of the world. Do you realize that? We are the most blessed people in the entire history of the world. We are sitting here today. We are chosen to be that blessed. Persecution and death normally is part and parcel of Christianity. To be persecuted, to be driven out of your land, to have your things taken from you, and yea, even to be killed. Jesus proclaimed in Luke 21 in verse 12, He says, "They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for My name's sake," for the name of Christ, for taking the name of Christ, be delivered up to the judgment, be persecuted and killed. To bring it up to date, you may or may not know this, 90,000 Christians were killed for their faith worldwide just this last year. 90,000 Christians in 2016. While the persecutors have changed, the death remains. The last century was atheist, communist regimes that would persecute God's people all over the world. But today, by far, the number one group of killers of Christians is Islamic fundamentalists. There is a Christian being killed for their faith in our day and time, one every 6 minutes. You say, "Why are you saying that, brother?" I'm saying that we need to realize how blessed we are. There is literally a Christian being killed one every 6 minutes. So we have military heroes that we remember, but we also have heroes of the faith of the gospel who have died in the service of the Lord. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. And through Hebrews 10 and 11, we're being exhorted to continue in the faith. Stay strong in the Lord because of the persecution that we are normally under. Notice Hebrews 11 verse 35. It says, "Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection." Can you imagine a time in your life when people are persecuting you and you can either recant your faith, denounce the name of Christ, or you can be tortured? And here it talks of those that chose to be tortured because they knew they would receive a better resurrection in the future, and they didn't want to denounce the name of Christ. They wouldn't do it. Others had trial of cruel mocking and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, mocked and beaten and thrown in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. And you say, "I can't imagine that somebody would do something so horrible." Have you seen the news the last few years? The barbaric people that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Why would they dress like that? Because they didn't have any clothes. They were tormented, run from town to town, nowhere to stay. We should be thankful. Of whom the world was not worthy. The world hated them. The world persecutes them even today. And it says the world's not worthy of people like that. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What? They didn't have all the ultimate blessings that the Bible said is coming. But notice what it says in verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us. Boy, that's an understatement. He provided some better thing for us. We could put ourselves right in there today. He provided a life for us that doesn't even compare with what some of God's people have been through. And it says that they without us should not be made perfect. It's God's plan that those that have died in the service of the Lord, those that have been persecuted and killed and sawed in sunder and died at the edge of the sword and stoned, it says here that they should not be made perfect without us. They're not complete until we get there. They don't receive all the fullness of the glory of what's coming in the future, even though they're in the presence of Christ spiritually. But not all the promises are going to come about until we get to be with them and they're waiting on us. How thankful should we be? How grateful we should be for the blessings of God? Hebrews 13 verse 3 says, "Remember them that are in bonds and as bound with them." We're to think of those that are around the world that are being persecuted. How often do you go without thinking of other Christians in other nations, in other countries that are thrown in prison. They're sitting there in Iran, rotting in an Iranian prison or a Turkish prison or somewhere in the Middle East or in North Korea, starving, eating rats to survive, or in Russia. You don't know of all the persecution going on behind the Iron Curtain. China, people that they meet in basements, and they come from all over the country to meet to have a church service whenever a missionary sneaks into China. And when they get together, they talk about their neighbor who had their tongue cut out, or someone that lost a limb, or someone that was hung for their faith, and they weep and they cry. I heard of missionaries that went into China and they met people and they never were the same. They come back, they're not the same, because when the people in China meet and secret and they hide, they weep so much that there's water on the floor from the tears because of all the persecution they've been through. And when they see one another, they relate with one another, and we have no idea because we're so very blessed. This verse in verse 3 of Hebrews 13 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. As if you're with them, you need to remember them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You should feel it. You should feel what's going on in their lives. We need to recognize that. And I'm afraid we don't even keep up with it enough to even think about, to pray for those that are in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving their lives. Somehow I think, even more wickedly, we think of ourselves as somehow more superior Christians. And I'm not judging, I'm just saying we're so blessed we seem to think that, well, they couldn't be real true Christians because they're over there in some weird country and they don't even have a good Bible. They don't even know the things that we know. We can have all the straight doctrine and all these things. They, brethren, they're dying for their faith. So how do you know they're truly Christians? They're dying for their faith. They will not recant. They will not give up the name of Christ. When you hear some groups being killed and you say, well, that's just some offshoot. Offshoot, yeah, that's what everybody else is saying about them. That's God's people. We're to remember. We should know about these things and we should pray. And we should pray, be able to pray for specific persecutions. We need to give. We need to be ready to give. We need to not only pray, but we need to give. You'd be ready to give to missions and to brethren that have need that we can help with. We've been so blessed. We need to be given to the cause of the gospel, and I mean financially and with your life in any way you can. There's not, how much could the Lord possibly ask of us that would be too much? Also, we need to remember that we've been given so much, and the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. I think of American Christianity, nobody's been given more than we have. Nobody's been, I'm just a flat statement, nobody's been given more than we have. How many of the world's Christians would love to live in your house? How many of the world's Christians would love to eat the food that you eat? How many of the world's Christians would love for their children to have the education that your children are receiving and have received, and the clothes that they wear? I'm not trying to shame you in any way. I just want us to be thankful. We owe it to them. We owe it to Christ, at least for us to be faithful and to stand strong for the Lord, to stand for the gospel whenever we can, to stand up for Christ. Never be ashamed of the blessings God's given us unless you're not standing for Christ. We should be so willing to stand up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be prepared to die for the cause of Christ. I don't have to preach to you this morning on the ways in which our country is changing. You all know it all too well. Opportunity to enjoy free speech and freedom of religion is most likely coming to an end. The decline may be slowing, but we're still in decline, there's no doubt. And we live in a society where millions of people in our society literally hate the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to say it. This Memorial Day is a time to remember the heroes of America. But the church also has its war dead. And we need to remember and be thankful. And most of all, remember the greatest hero of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. Psalm 105 verse 5 says, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgment of His mouth. Psalm 77:11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. We remember Christ. We remember that He has provided all of the blessings that we have. We remember that He intercedes for us daily. We are to remember that He gives us life and breath in every beat of our heart. We're to remember that it is our God that provides all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Also, we remember His great love for us, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins. And He's quickened us together with Christ. And by grace ye are saved. And He's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us. He sent His Spirit into our heart. He's given us life. Now, I talked about the temporal blessings and the blessings of America, but nothing compared to the spiritual blessings. And spiritually, He's raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, we have a home in glory. We have an inheritance waiting there. And we have a spiritual understanding and enlightenment that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. The whole purpose is that we get to have all these blessings, and then ultimately we go to be in heaven in glory with God, and He pours out whatever He has that we don't even know, the mountains of riches of His grace and His kindness. All that He could be kind to us for eternity. But most of all, we remember His death. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We remember His death. And that's what our Lord's Supper is about. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. We remember His death until He comes. Christ crucified. We are thankful. We have a Savior who died, who gave His life for us. So we're thankful for America this morning. We're thankful for the church. We're thankful for those who have died to preserve it. But we glory in the cross. Our hope is in the cross, where our Savior died, where He was killed. He gave His life for us. And He was different than those who bled for our freedom here. He was different than all those that died for the gospel. He died to redeem us from our sins. It was His precious blood of a lamb slain without blemish and without spot. No one ever died like He died. And because of His death, because He was killed, we are saved from sin. We are saved from hell. We have eternal life. We have hope. We have glory. And He took our hell. He took our wrath. And justice was satisfied on the cross. Our Savior was nailed to the wood like an animal. And the greatest death of all time, deserves the greatest remembrance. We should remember. We remember. Remember Him till He comes again. For He is coming again. And for this world, it will be like a thief in the night. You realize that? The Bible says this world's going to go along and go along and go along. And they're going to be eating and drinking and giving in marriage. And everything's just going to be great. And we're going to have our way. And we're going to do whatever we want to do. And the Bible says He's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to take this world by surprise. The Bible says, but we're not in darkness for that day should overtake us. But are you living in darkness? Are you wandering around like the rest of the world? Not being thankful? Not remembering? That's why Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Don't let the prosperity we have and the blessings we have lull you into slumber. We need to be thankful and remember and be a grateful people. We need to remember that Christ is coming again. So let me ask you this morning, simple, quick message this morning, but let me ask you this morning, are you thankful as an American for those who have died to give you political and religious freedom? Are you thankful? Or are you a person that just takes it for granted? Or when those caskets come back with a flag draped over them, does it mean something to you? We should be the most grateful people on planet Earth. Secondly, Are you thankful for Christians who have died in order to advance the kingdom of God and to bring you the Word of God and to give you the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You realize it's the blood upon the blood of the martyrs of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have a Bible. God's preserved it through people. And not only do we have the Bible, but we have the truth contained in the Bible. God's preserved His Word, and we can be sure He's preserved. He's promised to preserve it, and we have it. But also we have the truth contained in the Bible. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You say, how do I know how to interpret it? How do I know? It's been passed down to you. The apostles' doctrine, the faith that was once delivered to the saints, is in the church. You say, how do I know when I have it right? When you have the Word of God and you have the truth contained in the Word of God. And you say, how do I get that? You get that through the blood of the martyrs who gave their life to bring that to you. And why you have a church today? Because this church came out of a church that came out of a church somewhere that people gave their life for you to have it. We should be thankful for those that have died to advance the kingdom of God and to bring us the Word of God and to give us the church of God. Most of all, number three, are you thankful for the greatest sacrifice that was ever made? Our Savior Jesus Christ giving His life on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Are you thankful? And are you looking for Him to come again? I hope and pray that you're thankful for all three of those this morning. And actually, they all three go together. If you're thankful for the cross, and you're thankful for the forgiveness of sins that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're going to be thankful for the Christians who've died for the name of Christ. And if you're a Christian in America, you should certainly be thankful for the liberty and the blessings that you enjoy. Our text reads simply this morning, O my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. We're not to forget, but to remember. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much this morning for all of Your benefits. And as American Christians, we have so many. I don't know for sure, sometimes maybe it's not a benefit to have so much prosperity. It's easy to forget Your name and to forget Your glory and to forget Your cause. We've been so blessed. Help us to be a thankful people. Help us to remember as a nation, as Americans, our friends and neighbors who've died for us, that we could have freedom and liberty. It's only right. And Memorial Day is a good day, a day of remembrance. It's a biblical thing. And Father, help us to be thankful. Father, also help us not to forget our persecuted brethren all over the world. Even in America now, there are those that are being persecuted more and more for the cause of Christ. Father, I pray You'd give us the grace and give us the ability to use our prosperity to help Your people. And give us the courage to take a stand for the things of Christ. At least through the blessings we have, that we would be thankful and stand strong for Jesus Christ. Help us most of all, Father, to never forget and be thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And for the cross and for His death. And for Him dying, and that one day, He that was dead is alive evermore, and He's coming again for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.